from the Rams studio connected by AT&T. Welcome to Between the Horns. It is Wednesday, November 27th. 27th. 22nd. I don't know what day it is. I don't know why I said 27th. Man, we're off to a great start here, aren't we? It's 11:30 a.m. Pacific, and the Rams are now 7-3, though, after the 24-7 loss to the Minnesota Vikings last week. First time, you know, we've seen the Rams lose in a long time, over a month. So now the Rams have got to deal with some adversity, DeMarco.
Well, yeah, I mean, deal with a loss, have a losing week, how everything stinks. You know about how losses are and what the weeks are like.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it sucks. It really does. It stinks. So you have to deal with that. I guess that's an adverse situation, definitely. You lost to a playoff-caliber football team. It was a situation where you needed to raise your game, and let's be honest, they made more plays than you did.
Yep.
Do I think the Minnesota Vikings are better than the Rams? No. Do I think they made more plays on game day? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. You have to deal with it. You have to look in the mirror and, you know, figure out who you are as and what your role is on this football team. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you can call it adversity, but yeah, dealing with a loss definitely sucks this time of year.
Well, one thing I keep thinking about is that McVay, you know, he has these sayings about the standard is the standard, and he talks about takeaways being, you know, one of the biggest measures of wins and losses.
He says that a standard is a standard?
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those coach things.
Yes.
It sounds, but like a standard is a standard.
Yes.
Okay. It's a standard.
Yeah, you get it.
Anyway,
right?
Ahead.
Yeah. And like truest measure of performance is consistency. He says these things a lot.
If it is to be, it's up to me. No. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
But one of the other ones he says is sometimes you have to be your best when your best is required.
Yes.
And that is what did not happen on Sunday against Minnesota.
Adam Thielen made plays. That doesn't bother me. I mean, when you look, Dominic Hatfield hasn't played that much corner in the National Football League.
No.
That offense has been together for a while, and they're starting to click. So
yes.
You don't excuse it, but give him more reps. I bet the touchdown doesn't happen. He probably still catches it, but the catch and run probably doesn't happen. His angles would be different. Yeah,
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but absolutely. No, I agree.
The playmaking stuff, I point to Kyle Rudolph. There's a guy making plays. Point to Case Keenum.
Ball placement. We talk about ball placement all the time.
And escape routes.
Yeah.
You had good rushes on him, and he made better plays. He was a playmaker. You didn't make the play they did. So there were opportunities for the Rams, especially on offense, to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. So when you get into a dogfight on the road and they're making more plays than you, at some point the dam's going to break.
Exactly.
And you'll probably lose the football game.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, and we can talk about this a little bit more too. Just, you had injury situations in that game with Dominic Hatfield having to step up and play, but that happened because you lost your number two and number three corner, and your number four corner was out already with a hamstring injury in Troy Hills.
Right.
So, I mean, when you have to play that guy, like, that's your, in theory, your number five corner is stepping up to play literally one of the best receivers in the entire National Football League.
J.B. Long
it's
said
hard.
It best. CB5 is out there against Adam Thielen.
Right.
Who's probably going to the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, and Case Keenum, who's, you know, playing pretty well after a good game.
Yeah.
So maybe Case has grown. Maybe he is the guy there. So, yeah, you understand that. But the other stuff, I mean, your best against their best. And that's what I mean, that down the field, running the ball at the end.
Yeah.
You know, when they made plays in the run game. And I know what it's like in those situations where you just want to make a play so bad and you wind up making it worse for your own defense.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to realize the best thing I can do for us defensively is just do my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have to fight your own human. I got to make this happen. So you take the wrong gap. You got two guys in one gap, and bang, he huts and pecks and finds a hole and scores. So you've been there. But when their best is on your best and they keep making plays on you, that's the frustrating thing. But I think the adversity would be the outcome of the game, not just the loss, but the players you lost going into next week.
Absolutely.
That's the adversity I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting up to speed because you're going to be light in the secondary.
You could be light in the secondary. It's not as clear as if, you know, what the concussion situation is with Kayvon Webster. Monday, head coach Sean McVay said that they got good news, but, I mean, you're not going to mess with a head injury. I saw
the hit. Man, wow, Ogletree really nailed him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I told you this.
Some of the hardest hits, all the hardest hits, the hardest hits I've taken have come from my own guys.
Yeah.
My own jersey color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, That's what it is to play defense, read and react.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes you get hit.
Right. Sometimes that happens. With Nickell Robey-Coleman, sounds like he's more day-to-day with that thigh injury that he left the game with and did not return to. So, again, those guys could play. We don't know if they're going to play, especially because as we speak, it's Wednesday and the Rams have not practiced yet. But
yeah.
Robert Woods is, I think, the injury that you're sort of most referring to here when you talk about adversity, especially because of what Robert Woods has meant to this Rams offense this year. Him not being in is going to be really significant.
It's three starters when you think about it. I mean, that's, you don't want to be down three starters against anybody, especially against, you know, a New Orleans club who's just absolutely rolling, thinking they walk on water at this point.
And why shouldn't they?
Well, yeah, wow.
And the way you come back.
Thanks, Washington.
Well, right. The way they came back against Washington last week was special.
See, half full, half empty. How do you blow a lead like that?
Well, you get a bogus, you get a bogus intentional grounding call.
Okay, fair enough.
But blowing the lead, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to, yeah.
I give New Orleans credit.
That's not blowing the lead.
I'm not letting Washington off the hook. How do you blow that lead? Really?
Man, you let Drew Brees go down the field in 48 seconds with no timeouts left, under 2 minutes.
That doesn't shock me.
Wow.
You know, remember we had those conversations about Brady and, you know, the dream matchup. As a football fan, you want to see Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady for all the marbles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
still never seen it.
Right underneath that is probably Brady Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you look at numbers, they're similar, and he's chasing the other guy. So I'd love to see that matchup. And remember, like, Drew Brees can beat you from anywhere. This is the guy that beat Peyton in a Super Bowl.
It's true.
Peyton Manning. So he's a great quarterback. Comebacks don't surprise me at all. The numbers they're putting up on offense don't surprise me at all, especially when Drew Brees is under center.
Right.
I could care less if they're running the ball more. It's still a lot is because of that guy at quarterback.
For sure. But yeah, let's get, we'll talk more about the Saints later on in the episode here. But I do want to talk a little bit more about Robert Woods because of who he is and what he's done with this Rams offense. Because he is the leader of that Rams wide receiving core, not just in terms of numbers, but in terms of the leadership that he's also brought to this room and to this team.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the true measure of leadership is, can that group perform without you? Hmm. Did you lead in the right way? Like, did you lead to a point to where you can remove yourself and they still exceed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess everyone is looking at Sammy Watkins, number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to have to be the guy, and you would expect him to be the guy. And look, more of Cooper Kupp. He's not immune to this.
No.
Yeah. More plays are needed from him, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he's played his butt off, but everyone needs to raise their game up.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talk about Cooper Kupp. I mean, he was sort of a topic of conversation after that game as you reach for your phone and you're going to.
I did not reach for my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that was a phone. Cause what else could it be?
Yeah,
that was a phone.
We can all hear it vibrating.
It's Thanksgiving. It's family. It's plans. Thank you very much. At least my family cares.
That's your brother, right?
Yes.
Wow. Are you saying my family doesn't care about me?
No, I didn't say anything.
I feel like he implied that, Matt. Don't you feel like he implied that?
Don't you jump on. Don't you take sides. See, this is Thanksgiving right here. This is holidays. Don't
you
take sides.
Huh? That is just wishing him the best.
God.
Practice diplomat.
That is a real inside joke. But that is really funny to me, and it will be funny to my mom and probably nobody else. But I want to talk about this. The Cooper Kupp stuff happened on Sunday, and I think there are two big plays that everybody was really focusing on. One of them, obviously, was the fumble near the goal line, and that was a game-changing play.
Hell of a hit.
Yeah. It was a good play. Obviously, credit to the defender, because they have a good defense for a reason. But also, you had that, what was amounted to a drop on third down and 10, where Kupp was on the right side. He went up. Goff really put that ball, I thought, in the only place that Kupp could get it, because he was well-covered. Threw him open, Kupp goes up, ball goes off his hands, and you instead get fourth down.
And Terrence Newman was in good position.
Terrence Newman played his butt off in that game.
A lot about him. Wow. It's funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, his secret to success. Did you hear that, what his secret is?
No.
I don't even want to say it because it's the holidays. It's about family. But let's just say his secret is the opposite of family.
He cut everybody off, like the Kobe system?
It's just weird. But anyway, he was in great position on the play, so at some point, that's one of the things, one of the opportunities to become a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Terrence Newman didn't buy it. He's in good position. Your quarterback gave you a shot at it, and you got your hands on it.
Yeah.
It's a tough catch.
It is.
It's one in a million could make that catch, and guess what? You needed to be that one.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's the plays they were making on the other side.
Right.
So Yeah, it's an opportunity. And I'd throw it to him again. I still have confidence in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's one of those instances where you needed to make a play. Tyler Higbee, same thing.
Yes.
You're covered. It's tight. It's a tough window. You have to come down
make
with that.
Make the play.
Make the play. Because if not, they're making the play.
Right. And that again, I think, goes back to the being at your best when your best is required. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the cup catch that didn't happen, the 3rd and 10 one that we're just talking about, reminds me a little bit of the play that happened against Seattle mm-hmm. at the end of the game where Cup gets his hands on it. And is it a tough catch? Absolutely. But does Cooper Cup expect himself to be able to make that play? Yes.
And I'm expecting, everyone's
right.
expecting
and everybody's
to make that.
Expecting
Jared is expecting you to make that play.
Right,
yeah.
Which is why the ball comes to you. But
right.
I think, again, we always talk about these guys, and it's funny to me that, you know, you see some of the stuff on Twitter, and I know you're not on Twitter that much, and maybe I read too much into Twitter, but what I think sometimes we're forgetting is what this receiving core is now compared to what it was last year.
Oh,
and that does not excuse not making plays.
Well,
when
bring
you
me
make
in.
Plays.
What's happening on Twitter? What are we saying about what are they saying on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, God, Cooper Kupp, he's bad.
Oh, we hate
he's
him now?
He's terrible. Why does Cooper Kupp never make plays when he needs to make plays?
They treat him like a 7-year vet, and he's a rookie who's played 9 games.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yes.
Or 10
the truth
now.
Is somewhere in the middle.
Yes.
He is a rookie, but we expect you to make that catch.
Right.
That's why you're getting the reps.
Yes.
Yeah.
You always talk about him being this polished receiver. And again, I don't think this excuses not making plays when you need to make plays, but Matt, you're absolutely right. Like, when people are treating somebody like they are in year 5 as opposed to year 1, where I think sometimes rookie mistakes are going to happen, and that's what you got to live with.
But
you know?
Rookie mistakes are not knowing the play.
He always knows the play.
A false start.
Okay.
I mean, showing up late for meals, that's rookie mistakes. That gets you benched. That's not a rookie mistake. You're in good position to make a play on the ball. Catch it.
Yeah.
So you can't excuse him from that because he's a rookie.
Sure.
And you come down hard on him just as you would a 7-year guy. On that situation, you don't say, oh, that's okay, it's your first year. You don't poo-poo that. I mean, we expect you to make plays. That's why you're getting the reps. But, he's learning. I get it. He's never played football this long or at this high of a level.
True.
But you can say that about a lot of people. So you can't excuse it. You need more out of him. That's just the way it is.
Right. Yeah. And again, I'm trying to be nuanced here, and I don't know how good of a job I'm doing with that because, yes, he does have to make those plays. Otherwise, you don't want him out there. But I think there's something to be said for the rest of the time that Cooper Kupp is out there because, right, I mean, he had six receptions on 7 targets.
Yeah, yeah.
64 yards. He's making plays.
Outside of the bad game, bad plays, he had a great game.
Right, but and then you're asking, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the
it's just true, right?
Yeah.
You know, I told Robert Quinn after the game, great hit. Mm-hmm. You know what he told me? Thank you, but it wasn't enough.
Right.
That's a vet.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
I told LaMarcus, great shot on the goal line. You know what he said? Wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so good play here. When you make a bad play here.
Yeah.
We need those plays. But it's not like you're up or down on a guy just based on one drop. That's not how it goes.
Right, I agree. Quick thing before we get back into these wide receivers, because I want to talk more about that. There was something I saw on Instagram today from, I think, NFL Films or whatever, but they had Latavius Murray mic'd up in that game. Mm-hmm. And so they showed the hit that Quinn put on him at the beginning of the second half.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And then they showed Murray on the sidelines, and he was saying, "That guy took my soul." That hit,
Mortal Kombat, huh?
That hit took my soul.
Final victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was a heck of a shot.
It really was.
It was a clean shot.
Yeah, and that's what it should happen when you leave Robert Quinn unblocked on a run.
He runs a track. I swear, when he's in a stance and he comes off the ball, he's on a track. He's going to turn at like 5 and head towards the quarterback.
Yeah.
If you get caught in that blast zone, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. One way or the other, if you get caught when he's on that 5th step, you're going to get hit hard.
Exactly.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Well, something I remember former defensive coordinator Greg Williams said about Robert Quinn is about guys turning the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, your really average guy will turn the corner at about, 7-8 yards. Mm-hmm. Then your really good guy will turn it at about 6.
I told you that.
Greg Williams said it first.
Anyway, go ahead.
You also probably have reiterated this, but Greg Williams said it in a press conference.
All running together, but go ahead.
No,
we probably talked about it on this show.
You, I think we have talked about it on this show before.
But anyway,
Robert Quinn is a guy who turns the corner at 5 yards.
Yes.
And that's what makes him an elite rusher.
No doubt. If you get a statue back there, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to take it back again to this wide receiver position, now you're going to have to see some different guys step up, whether that is Watkins, whether it's Kupp. I mean, those guys are two guys that are going to continue starting.
I'm taking him as a definite.
Who?
Sammy Watkins. There's no excuse. You have to step up.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. So I expect him to ball.
Mm-hmm.
I expect him to relish this opportunity.
Maybe, yeah.
And to flourish in this opportunity.
One thing I think the Rams could do a little bit more with him is get him sort of involved in that quick passing game. And we saw this a little bit, I thought, against Minnesota. We saw it a little bit, too, against Houston, where you just get him the ball and let him work on the outside if guys are playing in off coverage. And that's something that I think Sammy Watkins can do really well. When he catches the ball and he turns his shoulder, it looks different, you know?
No doubt. You see it with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. Sometimes, I mean, Ben has the autonomy to do this in the offense, where he's just going to start playing football with Antonio Brown.
Right.
He's going to play football against your defense with that guy. I'm going to him, I'm going to him, I'm going to him, I'm going to him. Maybe I'll mix in a few here, but my whole point is you can't stop him. If Sammy's feeling it that day, I'm sure they'll call the game that way. But within the framework of what they're trying to do, if it comes to him early or late, I could care less. Short or long, you've got to be productive.
Right.
Period. When they call your number, high number of targets, you have to have a high number of catches. If you have a high number of catches, the yards will come and probably you're going to be in the box.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what we didn't necessarily see last week. I mean, you look at the targets. Robert Woods got 11. Sammy Watkins had 4. And 3 receptions for 36 yards for Sammy Watkins there, as you look at the box score here.
See, that or better. 11 targets
Watkins?
For Woods, but 8 catches. High number of targets, high number of catches.
Yes.
And you're productive that way. So let's say you put Sammy Watkins in that same role and you force 11 footballs to him. At some point, I would bet that this number, the most important number, wouldn't be 0.
Number of touchdowns.
Number of touchdowns. Probably goes to 1 or 2.
Yeah.
If he's got 11 targets.
Yeah.
I hope that's the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think happened against in that game against San Francisco, where he was getting the targets.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff was throwing it accurately to him, and then he was able to get into the end zone for certain things.
Am I wrong to expect, and I love this guy, and I hope I'm not devaluing or knocking him down a peg, but athletically, am I wrong to expect the same production that Julio Jones gives the Falcons and Matt Ryan? When you're covered by two guys on a sideline route, and you stretch out to 6'5 and catch it.
That catch was unbelievable to me.
Well,
unbelievable.
It would be unbelievable for me if it wasn't him.
Yeah.
It's believable because I get it with that guy. So am I wrong to expect that same sort of ability out of Sammy? Because I'm still in that same category.
I don't know, to be honest, because I don't think we've ever been able to see that with Sammy Watkins, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like, and be it because of quarterback play or because you're trying to integrate him into a new offense and the chemistry isn't quite there yet between quarterback and wide receiver and he's not getting targets, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think you're right that the ability is probably there because there is a reason that he went number 4 overall to the Buffalo Bills
and
who
you
traded
can see
up
it.
For him.
It's Rice, Carter, Moss. That group, I mean, there's great, great, and special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put Sammy in the special category. I mean,
well, that's what I was saying. Like when he catches and turns, it just looks different.
Yeah.
than it does from pretty much any other wide receiver that I have covered since I've been here.
If we make a mistake, this is great. This is what I think great is. If we make a mistake, he's behind us. He's in the end zone.
Right.
Special is it doesn't matter what we do.
Mm.
Megatron special.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're calling. We're in great position, and he's still catching it.
Yeah.
That's Julio Jones. I would expect Sammy Watkins to have that same sort of ability. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I overestimated him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know that we've seen it yet.
Yeah.
And you hope that if the Rams are going to make a run in this, you know, last stretch of 6 games, then that's something that can maybe develop.
Well, this is funny. And I know you said we'll talk about him in a minute, but you're going to need that to beat New Orleans.
Yes.
Yeah, especially if you're down Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need that guy to be that special. You're going to need a playmaker
Absolutely.
At receiver.
No, I agree with you. Two other guys that I think could really be in the mix to help sort of replace Robert Woods, because as McVay said, it's probably going to be a by committee approach because you can't just replace what Robert Woods has done and what he's been, and he's been Jared Goff's favorite target. I mean, he's got 70 targets.
Yeah.
Next up on that list would be Cooper Kupp with 61.
You're going to have to split that job up.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
Exactly. So McVay basically mentioned all of the wide receivers that were not named Cooper Kupp and Sammy Watkins to do that, which is sort of McVay's way. But I think I think Farrah Cooper is going to be really important in that role because at least when I think about training camp, it looked like Robert Woods and Farrah Cooper were sort of playing the same position, if that makes sense. Because, you know, you call them all wide receivers, but there's the X, there's the Z, there's the F. So there's differences in the nuances of what those guys are doing. And I think...
And they're all supposed to be able to play everything.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But and Farrah Cooper's one of those guys.
His direct backup, you think, is Farrah Cooper.
Yes.
I agree with that. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
But then you also have a guy like Tavon Austin who might get back into the mix at wide receiver a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Josh Reynolds could emerge. I mean, he's been in the system now for a little bit. He's still raw because he's a rookie, but I think he's somebody that could make some noise. And then Mike Thomas is somebody that we haven't really talked much about since he came back from his suspension, but you know, when he did come back and the Rams had 7 wide receivers on the roster, it's kind of like, "Huh, why?" But now, maybe this is an opportunity for him to step up and show what he can do.
Let's pretend like you had to replace Aaron Donald, knock on wood.
Oh, goodness.
No, really. I mean, here's a guy that's so good at everything. So if he's not there, well, somebody's going to have to go out there and play the run, first and second down. Mm-hmm. And then when it's a passing down, bring the other guy in. That's a better pass rusher. So you're going to have to split that up with Robert Woods. Okay, you've got screens. Okay, you've got the intermediate routes. Uh-huh. This is what I'd ask Robert. I wouldn't have to take a guy off the field. He does everything.
Right.
Now that he's not there, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. I'm going to allow you to run the vertical routes.
Mm-hmm.
All I need you to do is run the guy off. On this play, we're giving it to Todd. I need a blocker.
Yeah.
I need somebody that can knock that safety on his keister.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your job. If Woods was healthy, it'd be him. So you're going to have to split that job up. Yeah, that's why the guys get paid the big bucks, man.
That's true.
Yeah. It takes a lot of guys to replace them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
which means more coaching.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
it's one guy that one guy has a lot of responsibility and you're counting on him not to mess it up. Well, now there's 3 guys doing the same job and there's 3 guys you have to worry about not messing it up.
Yeah.
It just puts more of a premium on coaching.
It's interesting. McVay talked about that, too. It's one of the good things about the National Football League, he said, is that you get challenges like this and that you have to try to solve them, and that's their job as coaches in order to do that.
Yeah. Even in pass protection, same thing. When you talk about playmakers, not just guys that drop passes. Hey, you got to pick up the right guy versus a blitz. Mm-hmm. You can't turn people loose.
Right.
You have situations where guys are just about to come open. That play is just about to, you know, go from 0 to 1,000, but they get a guy home to the quarterback, now he rushes it. And it looks like Minnesota played the play better than they really did.
Right.
All it was a guy missing a block up front. Mm-hmm. So it's all a part of the same thing. You have to play better and be better than you were last week, regardless of who's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
DeMarco, do you think when you do have to replace somebody like that, splitting up the pressure amongst several people as opposed to putting it all on one player to make up for all that ground that Robert Woods is
that's the benefit
easier?
That's the benefit of having a lot of depth, man. I mean, you're not just depending on his direct backup to make up for Robert Woods' absence. That's impossible. If that were true, then that guy'd be on the field with Robert Woods, not behind him. So you're gonna have to split those up. Like at corner, how much work do you think Hatfield really got in practice
that week? Probably not that much.
Not that much.
He was running scout team and walkthrough, right? Like,
right.
That's
right.
So, it yeah.
You have to get guys ready to play, and when you lose one of your premium guys, well, you just can't. There is no direct backup for guys like Robert Woods. You're going to have to split that job up.
Yeah.
Benefit of having bodies out there, capable bodies, but it puts more of an emphasis and a premium on coaching.
Yes.
Yeah.
If there is one position that I think the Rams do have depth on this team, it's a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that they built up over the course of this offseason now. And now I think we're going to be able to see it. But because, look, this is not the same Rams wide receiving corps was last year.
No, not
last,
at all. Not
or any
close.
Of the previous 3 years that I've covered this team. So I think that the Rams can sort of make up for what Robert Woods, but to say that there's not going to be a drop off, and obviously, yes, that's what players are going to say in the locker room, but there's a reason why, as you're saying, Robert Woods is out there and, you know, the rest of the guys are not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sammy, can't wait. Farrah Cooper might have a lot to say about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Both from a special team standpoint.
There's an opportunity out there for you. Yeah, absolutely. We'll see.
Yeah. So one of the questions that sort of kept coming up on Twitter following this game was, what do you think was up with Tavon Austin?
No idea.
Yeah. And I
got tired
of
seeing him on the bench.
Right. And Tavon Austin was out there for two plays, one of which I recognized when I was rewatching the broadcast of the game on Monday morning. And the other one, to be honest with you, I have no idea when it came. Do you not? But it's interesting to me because, and as fans, I think, rightly pointed out, a lot of the bread and butter in the Rams offense was using Tavon Austin on the jet sweep motion, and then you have Todd Gurley that you hand it off to. And I don't know if it was a product of the game plan where you've got a team in Minnesota that I think goes east and west really, really well.
Yeah.
Or it's something else. But I do think that there's a lot that goes into game planning, and you have the game plan specific stuff. And I think that's how McVay's offense has tended to run.
No doubt. I'm just looking at the total number of plays. They ran 56 plays.
Yeah, 56 offense.
Had the ball less than 23 minutes.
Yes.
So who knows? I mean, you were what? 3 of 11 on third down?
3 of 11 on third down. All three conversions came in the first half.
So
you didn't get drives like you needed to.
No, you didn't stay on the field long enough. So to tell you the truth, I don't know what the game plan was. That's a shortened game plan. You weren't out there long enough to really execute. You were in a situation where it seemed like you were in need of big plays, which means I was surprised as to why one of your big play guys was still on the bench.
Sure.
Yeah, even if it's from a decoy standpoint, mm-hmm. Tavon Austin draws eyes.
He does. Drawing
eyes opens it up for a lot of people. So, yeah, that was a big surprise.
He's one of those guys that defense, opposing coaches, things like that, constantly say you have to account for where he is on the field at all times.
Both sides, yeah. If you're an outside guy, an edge rusher, I don't care what position, what defense you're in. If you're a defensive end or an outside linebacker, right, when Tavon Austin is through your side, you're calling that out to the guy mm-hmm. behind you. Okay, let's watch this, let's watch this, let's watch this. You'll probably change your stance and alignment just a little bit because he's standing right there from a speed standpoint. Also, it affects the other guy on the other side. You have
because
to communicate
he could be coming
with him.
Toward you.
Yes, he could leave me. That means you got him. Mm-hmm. And that creates some issues. You have to have conversations on the backside. So there's a lot of conversation and a lot of eyeballs when he's out there. And when you move him pre-snap, that's going to change a lot of what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you hope everybody's on the same page. So even if you give it to him, you have to run him down and defend it. If not, you have to honor it, and they may open you up for somebody else on the other side. So there's a lot that goes on with Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
He's a good weapon to have.
He is, and that's why McVay, I think, was saying, sort of unsolicited even on Sunday, that we have to do a better job of getting Tavon Austin more involved. And then he repeated that notion on Monday mm-hmm. in his press conference. So one thing I did think was interesting in that game is that you saw the Rams kind of run that jet sweep, same motion, but with different players. I'm thinking specifically, and I can't remember if this was in the second or the third quarter, but mm-hmm. When Goff faked the jet sweep motion to Kupp and he dropped back, and then you had that basically the same play that they ran in Dallas, except it was with Tavon Austin on the jet sweep motion where, Todd Gurley is going down the seam.
Yeah.
Gurley was open. And unfortunately,
if he doesn't slip, that's a big
Jared
play.
Goff slips, and then the ball just
See, that counts as
down.
Making plays, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember the first time I slipped on a play, and it was bad. I mean, I slipped. And I'm trying to plead my case. I slipped, and it's falling on deaf ears. Like, this is the pros. They don't care if I slip.
Right.
I'm not getting paid to slip.
No, you're not.
You're right.
Exactly, but it just goes back.
But I slipped. It's wet. I don't care.
Well, it's wet.
You
it's
don't slip.
Home.
Yeah, you don't slip.
You can't slip in the moment, right?
Right.
And these things happen, but I think this all goes back to the umbrella of, okay, are you at your best when your best is required?
Right.
And it's just that's a play where it's there to be made.
Ugh.
But you just, it's gut-wrenching.
Right.
It's that. It's the fumble. Like, there were just these gut-wrenching plays.
I look at the fallout of the defense when Todd's here, right, and how you had them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you absolutely had him. If you complete that, he makes one move and he's gone. Right.
It was in Dallas.
Even if the guy makes the play, it's still a big play. But I bet on Todd in that situation. But when the play's dead, you'll look at Minnesota and they turn around and go, what just happened? Like, they didn't know. Like, wow, we got lucky on that one.
We got away with one.
Woo, absolutely. So,
And you see Jared Goff pounding the ground three times
big
on the
plays.
Replay because
absolutely.
He knows.
But guys do have signature plays, and this is what I mean. It's his play or they're running his play.
As in Tavon Austin's play.
Yeah, when you take certain plays that offense run and they have success with, and you look at who's doing it, 90%, if it's one guy, then that's his play. So when you start to see those same plays with other people, you start to scratch your head.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be a Tavon play. Well, there's Tavon, but that's Farrell running his play. Wow. What's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just one of those head-scratching moments.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I think part of it, too, is just the McVay offense where you're trying to make something that is the same look different or something that is different look the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think you get Cooper Kupp on that kind of fake motion instead of a Tavon Austin, probably for that specific play. I don't know about anything else. But you're trying to make it look different than it was in Dallas, where it's something that they've seen before. This is something that you really haven't seen, where Cooper Kupp comes in the motion, and then maybe you think, oh, what is this? And that's probably why you kind of caught them in the situation that you did. And if the play's executed, then whatever.
But it drew eyeballs, and it created indecision, and it gave you the edge. You just didn't make the play.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So as my grandfather likes to say, we're saying if, but if does not mean anything.
Mm. What did my grandfather say? If I say a duck could pull a truck, you better hook his butt up. He didn't use butt. Yeah.
What?
That's if you question him. If you said, Grandpa, are you sure? He'll look at you and say, if I say a duck can pull a truck, you better hook his butt up. Yeah. I like that, right? No? You don't like that?
That's good.
Yeah.
Much better. My wisest line from my grandpa, I don't even have anything. He just used to call M&M's pills, and he would just say, yep, got to take my meds, and would just grab a handful of M&M's and shove them in his mouth.
Love it.
M&M's or pills.
I like that.
I like that.
I like
too.
Your grandpa.
Yeah. That's all I could do.
I'm literally a spinning image. I'll show you pictures.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow. Okay.
100%.
Like it.
I'm kind of a spinning image of my grandpa.
Are you
too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Not to like just derail what you said.
That's all good.
Like, that kind of felt weird.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Love grandfathers. One other guy that I think we might see kind of step up this week, maybe. And I feel like I keep saying this every week, and then it sort of has not happened yet. But Gerald Everett.
Oh, yeah.
And more tweets I keep talking about. But he's another guy where it's kind of like, all right, well, when is he going to get more involved here? And the reason why I bring him up is because I think he has the versatility and the speed, maybe more so than Tyler Higbee, to be the outside guy, you know, and sort of fill that role a little bit more than of a Robert Woods than a Tyler Higbee could, you know?
Okay, I'll tell you, I'll relate it this way. This is funny. Back when I was a youngster, a rookie, as a matter of fact, I was so excited that I was part of a package, the defensive group. It was a pass rushing package. So we're going to call it this. Can't remember. It's like Jaguar or something fast, right? Something that was really cool. So we're going to call it this. We're going to do this when we get out there, right? So I called my family and said, look, I'm part of the Jaguar package. It's going to be fun. When they call this, I'm out there. I'm pass rushing. This is my responsibility. It's going to be great. We used it about twice in the game. Right. And it's not because it wasn't effective. We just never had the opportunity.
Yeah. Yes.
You see what I mean? So I
yes.
Yeah. Gerald Everett probably has a huge role, and they just never really got to it. I mean, when you look at these numbers.
Yeah, that's when it comes back to the 56 plays.
Right.
You just didn't get the plays in order to get these things done that you probably would have wanted
Absolutely.
To get done.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I talked to Gerald Everett a couple weeks ago. It must have been after the Giants game when he took that jet sweep. And I was asking him, like, dude, a tight end jet sweep? Like, what? And he was like, yeah, I know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he did it in college. And he was telling me that, you know, once he saw, like, he's basically, I call him the Swiss Army knife of the Rams offense because he can take a jet sweep. He can take an inside shovel pass.
He can block.
He can block. Mm-hmm. He can line up on the outside and go.
He can take you deep.
Yes.
Yeah, he can do
and
everything.
So that's, I just find it really interesting, but it was funny just talking to him about the jet sweep, and he was like, yeah, when they put that in, I was like,
Oh, this is gonna be good. Yeah. But I mean, if you're planning, I'm sure they are, like Sean McVay is planning on getting to the red zone on every single drive. So say you get there five times, I would bet three of those five red zone touches or opportunities, part of that offense is going to be to him.
Mm-hmm.
You keep running that stuff, those little short outs, and when you have to have a defender come up and tackle him in space, eventually he's going to make that guy miss and turn upfield, and you got problems.
You know, here's something that I've been sort of thinking about, and it doesn't – I don't know how much of an effect it really has, but you're going up against two opponents now in the last 2 weeks that have played Washington the week before they play you.
Weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's weird because obviously these are two very, very similar offenses. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much that helps that team prepare for the next?
It's the same thing. You're exactly right. It's not rocket science. We said it's going to seem like Minnesota is going to be a little bit faster because they faced a similar offense. The play that we're talking about with Cooper Kupp, where Terrence Newman is in great position to make the play. Well, okay, Washington runs a similar play, so he's there. But the play is still there to be made. It's just tougher.
Yeah.
But even with that, the Todd Gurley play that we talked about where Jared Goff slips, you can still catch them. You can still run stuff they haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play off how they've defensed certain stuff versus Washington.
Right.
Well, this is the formation they gave him. This is the motion they gave him. And this is how they reacted. Okay, guess what? We get this look. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And bang, bang. It looks like magic. But no, you're just... It's a two-week breakdown of a defense playing a similar offense. It also helps you as much as it hurts you.
Right. It does. So let's start talking more about these New Orleans Saints, because I think one thing the Rams are going to have to definitely do this week is shore up that run defense. Because you saw Minnesota last week rush for 171 yards, and the Rams have done better against the run in recent weeks.
Yeah.
You did a really good job against Arizona. You did a decent job against the Giants, too, you know, even though you had that one drive toward the beginning of the game where Eli was making those third down conversions, and then you also had them running the ball pretty well there. But, again, if there's one thing they've got to do, they have to do this week, it is shore up the run defense, because you've got a two-headed monster in Kamara. Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Kamara sounds more exotic, but
I think I've heard more people pronounce it Kamara.
I think I have too.
Yeah. I heard a lot of Kamara like coming into the season, and then the last like 6 weeks I've heard Kamara.
Kamara? Okay, you know, certain guys do that. They allow it and then they correct it as we go. Yeah. There was a guy named Keenan McCardle. It was Keenan McCardle for the first 5 years, and then he corrected us. It's McCardell.
Yeah, I remember him as McCardell.
McCardell.
Was probably the late part of his career was my early football
consciousness. Right, but it was McCardell when he first came in.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it was like the actor, it was Larry Fishburne until he became like a real actor. Now it's Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you correct us. So Kamara, whatever it is, the guy can run.
Yeah.
I was trying to say it in text form. You know, they and run the blank out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so think of that in emoji form.
Yeah.
Yeah, they run the ball, both running backs. Mark Ingram is still proving a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, still proving a point. So you don't get a break running the ball. If you're watching the Rams defense, I bet the Saints think they can run the ball in the Rams too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But at some point, their MO says they'll make a mistake and we'll hit it. Be ready.
Well, that's what happened last year, if you remember that game in the Superdome.
I mean, I'm trying to forget it.
Well, yeah, I think there are probably a lot of people that are trying to forget.
You know what that felt
that
like?
Game. Some of them might be in Cleveland.
That felt like, you know, you're in a department store and you're watching a mom discipline her kid. That was personal. just stay out of that, man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah, that's Peyton and Greg Williams, right?
Yes, that's what I mean by the guy who's in Cleveland.
Oh my God.
That game definitely felt personal more than any other
game. That double pass at the end?
Yes.
That's abuse.
You only have 40 points or whatever you were up by. Oh. I mean, the game was clearly in the Saints' favor, and then you do a double pass, and Willie Sneed gets that man on a touchdown. Ooh,
I just wanted to scream, like, take it outside. Take it out back, man.
Yeah.
That's personal.
Leave
the guys
personal.
Alone. Wow.
But, yeah, like Mark Ingram, though, he did run for over 100 yards. I think somewhere close to 150, and I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't, in that particular game against the Rams. And then now you add in Kamara.
Backup.
Really, I mean, he catches the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
He runs the ball well. He blocks well. He's really a complete back.
They block really good up front.
I mean, I was watching, and I put this on Twitter from the Washington game, where there was a play, and I wish I could remember when it was, but somebody's coming in the backfield, and Kamara just flips him. He just goes under.
Oh, chops
boom.
Him? Yeah.
And he just gets him out of the play. And it's one of those plays where you look at it, and you're like, wow, this guy is not playing like a rookie running back.
Well, I mean, look, thank God they had to come back from the brink. So it's going to be physically taxing, because think about what the Rams defense had to go through in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
How many snaps did they play?
78.
Yeah. I counted 80 plays on video, so two didn't count. So that's a lot of football, and they ran it towards the end, which is the worst. That takes a lot out of you. So you're going to be taxed. You have to get ready to play a similar game plan coming this Sunday. So, but thank God they had to come back and expend a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. But they're going to slam the ball at you, man. I mean, look, Mark Ingram, We always talk about SEC running backs and which guy is really doing well in the league, and we always forget to talk about him.
It's true.
Yeah, and maybe it's because of who his quarterback is. But this guy has been doing work for 2 years, yeah. Especially against Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it makes it hard when you have two capable backs plus a quarterback that can take advantage of you trying to stop the run. He's right. Waiting on you to collapse on the run
right.
So he can just exploit you. He's that good. They're that good. Well, it's going
to
be tough.
One of the things that really stood out to me watching that Washington game was how they just sort of rotate through the backs. I mean, mm-hmm. Ingram would get a run. All right, now it's Kamara. Mm-hmm. And then Kamara gets a run, and boom, Ingram's back in there, and he's getting another one.
Mm-hmm.
And they just flow through these guys. And I think it's interesting how neither one can take the other out of their rhythm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if one guy's sort of got a hot hand, well, actually, we're going to give both of you hot hands.
Mm-hmm.
And how tough can that be as a defender when it's that a two-headed monster like that?
Well, each back is different, so you have to play them different. You may not call the game. You know, Wade Phillips may use the same call for both backs, but as a player, they hit the hole at different times and,
uh-huh.
and different ways. So at some point, they'll slip the other guy in, and you're so used to playing this block the same way, and it's not going to work against a Kamara. It's not going to work against a Mark Ingram.
Right.
So you're a little bit late, or you're too early. And the next thing you know, the hole just becomes gaping, or it becomes vertical, and he pops out. So that's the hell of facing two-headed monsters. When there's no ego coming off the bench with those two guys, and they are truly platooning, 1-2, 1-2, and they both, it doesn't matter who the starter is, it almost becomes impossible to stop. That's why you see numbers like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, numbers
6
like,
yards per carry.
Yes.
Yeah, that's for our backup. That's
yes.
ridiculous.
Yes,
yeah.
It is ridiculous. I mean, Mark Ingram had 11 attempts, 134 yards. That's 12.2 yards a carry. His longest was 36.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he popped off one of those 75-yarders.
Like
you know,
sevens and eights.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, he is getting a yeah. lot of chunk yards in
yeah.
order to get to 134. Then you got Kamara, who has 8 carries for 42 yards, then adds six receptions for 74.
Yeah.
So, like, that, like, two-headed monster, like, yeah, it's real.
Now, out of the backfield, I mean, like, if you look at what you put on tape, and that's all you are as a pro.
Yeah.
Well, look at who made plays for Minnesota, and look who they made plays against
right.
in the Rams defense.
Right.
Well, those are the same guys you're going to be counting on.
Yes.
To stop the run.
Yeah.
And stop these guys out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, 2 weeks in a row. It's tough. It's tough duty. But, yeah, we're expecting a lot out of you.
Right.
Yeah, and they need to step up.
And that's saying everything of the run game and saying nothing mm-hmm. of Drew Brees, who is a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback and is still playing at a high level.
Right. He, even if you've got it sewed up, he's mobile.
Yep.
He can move around and he can keep his eyes on the rush and know what's going on downfield. He is the total package at quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only benefit is that you have is he's short. But
they're going to be on the road,
right?
So they're not in the dome.
But I think he's overcome the size thing a long time ago.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so almost,
and they've overcome the road thing too.
No doubt.
You just saw what they did at Buffalo a couple weeks ago, where they put up a 50 burger on those guys.
Right. He's got no weakness.
No.
Yeah.
Not really. And right now, it's funny that you know his yards per attempt are a little bit up because they're not throwing the ball as much.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still accurate. I mean, right now he's completing 71% of his passes, nearly 72% if you round up.
Right.
That's really, really kind of insane.
It's
with the way he throws the ball.
Next level, yeah.
It's not like he's just throwing. He's not Captain Checkdown where Sam Bradford set the completion, you know, percentage, whatever, had the highest completion percentage last year
mm-hmm.
where he was over 70 and mm-hmm. it was a lot of crossing routes and a lot of short stuff. Like, Drew Brees is firing the ball down the field.
You know, we always have this discussion right around draft time about spread quarterbacks and how they translate to the National Football League. Well, we never talk about Drew Brees. He was one of the first spread quarterbacks in college, and I think he's pretty good now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think he's been pretty good for a long time.
He's been throwing the ball well for a lot of years, and he can almost put it where he wants at any point.
Yeah.
It's like watching Tiger at his best. It's like, how did you put it right where you needed to have
yeah.
it? Yeah. Same thing.
He's just so special. Mm-hmm. I mean, we brought this up earlier, but the way he was able to get down the field 48 seconds, no timeouts inside 2 minutes, and score a touchdown, and then get a 2-point conversion
mm-hmm.
Off of what I thought was a nice little pitch play there
yeah.
for that 2-point.
Yeah.
That you don't see that very often for a reason.
It was better than the fake field goal Seattle ran.
Whew, baby.
Yeah, just saying. Anyway,
yeah.
Well, I get the thinking behind it, but wow, what a play.
Thanks to Atlanta for keeping the Rams in first place there. When Atlanta tried to Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
But
is that better or worse than Indianapolis' fake punt?
No.
That's still the worst play of all time?
That's the worst play of all time. That's I don't understand why that was
why
called.
Why did you snap
why
the ball?
Why was it snapped? What were you, what did you think would happen?
Brain fart. Yeah, it just happens.
Yeah, that was
sorry, coach.
Particularly weird.
I don't know what happened. It just happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your helmet on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
defensively for the Saints, what's interesting this week, they may or may not be without Marshon Lattimore. And if they're without him, that would be a significant loss for them because he has been outstanding as a rookie cornerback out of Ohio State.
If you had Robert Woods, I'd be really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be really, really happy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, you saw what happened to the Rams being down a guy, being down two guys.
Cornerback,
secondary.
Yes.
Yeah, that hurts, especially guys you really count on to either cover the best or the second best receiver on the football field.
Right.
So here's a guy that usually goes over the number one guy, and he's pretty much locked up number one guys to this point.
Yeah.
So that's gonna hurt big.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think their defense is just gonna fall all the way off for one guy.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about him, he is a guy that has not surrendered a pass of over 25 yards. He's not allowed a touchdown, and he's intercepted two passes, one of which he scored for a touchdown. Got that from ESPN's Mike Triplett. So
yeah, that's big sign where he is. Throw at him at your own peril. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they've got good guys in their defensive front as well. I mean, Cam Jordan has 8 sacks. He's a difficult guy to stop.
Yeah. When they say, I want you to run through a guy, they don't mean it literally. But I'm not sure if he knows. I'm serious. It looks like he's really trying to cut you in half. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like split you in two, Mortal Kombat. He is absolutely brutal as a pass rusher.
That's going to be something that the Rams have to contend with. They will not have to contend with Alex Okafor, who's out for the year with the torn Achilles. He has had 4.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. And, you know, that's one of the things that they tried to bring in to improve that defense. One of the guys they brought him over from Arizona where he had been for 4 years. So that's, again, you talk about you know, handling things, handling some adversity. The New Orleans Saints are going to have to do that too.
Okafor in Arizona was at the embryo stage of becoming a Rams killer.
Really?
Yeah, he was just like Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
Anquan Boldin. Larry Fitzgerald. Just certain guys that they just become Rams killers for some reason. He was becoming one of those. Yeah, I was happy when he left. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, now you got to face him this year.
Just
right?
The once, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Well, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
It might be
in the regular season.
In the regular season.
Yeah, we'll see what happens later.
All right. So it is Thanksgiving week. So in recognition of
Thanksgiving. Is this wacky question time?
Yeah.
Okay. The Miles Minute? Okay, go ahead.
It's not even that wacky.
Okay, what do you got?
The Miles Minute, I feel like, is more of a rant thing. Like, I didn't rant today, and I wanted to. Actually, reminded me.
A rant.
Now we're going to rant about something, because I did want to rant about
this. Let me grab my
coffee. All right, so when I put out that Robert Woods got injured, one of the things that kept coming back in retweets, and you know how people quote tweet stuff, and it ends up in my mentions, or @s, or whatever you want to call it, but somebody, and I don't remember what their name was, and more than one person really, was like, oh, looks like you're going to have to drop him off your fantasy team. And of course, this is the thing that everybody thinks about, you know, when it's the first thing that something happens. Like, this guy, this is his career. This is his life. He injures his left shoulder. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. And all you think about is your fantasy team and how that affects you.
Tell them.
No,
I'm on your side. Go ahead.
I'm telling everybody. I'm telling you, I'm telling Matt, and I'm telling you, world, by looking at this guy. Like, don't do that, man. Like, have a little class. I don't know. If somebody is going to be injured and their life and their livelihood is affected, the first thing that you think about shouldn't be how it affects you. That is just really, really selfish. And especially because it's for fantasy football. It's not like this is somebody that you really care about. You're just a fantasy owner. And another thing, that's something else we really got to think about, is how we address how people are on your fantasy teams. People need to stop saying that I own this person. I'm a fantasy owner of this person. Do you realize how gross that sounds? Did you see back in August when ESPN2 was doing like this large fantasy football
troubled
thing? Don't
waters.
You back away
troubled
from me.
Troubled waters.
Listen, ESPN back in August did this like 24 hours of fantasy coverage, and they did like an auction. and basically they're auctioning off these people.
Yes, we saw it. It was bad.
It was horrible.
They apologized.
Yes, they needed to apologize. An entire mentality that I think we need to do. Because I don't care, you know, people said, oh, like it has racial overtones, that. I don't care if you're black, white, green, or purple. All right? If you are saying that you own another human being and you're auctioning off another human being, that's problematic. All right? So everybody, let's take a step back. And let's just realize what we're doing when we play fantasy football and realize that human beings are players and players are human beings.
I feel like Mike Myers right
that
next to Kanye West.
That needed to come out, though. That has been pent up in him since training camp. That's been there for a while. And
good.
I'm glad that it finally
good.
I feel better.
Itself. Good for you.
I feel a lot better.
Okay.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving side dishes.
Thank God.
Because it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
Well, guys, what are your favorite and least favorite Thanksgiving
whatever
side
like,
dishes?
Whatever you like, Miles. Whatever you like, man. What is it, turkey? Yay.
That's not a side
oh,
dish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh, no. It depends. I do. It's a mini rant. It's dressing, period.
Okay.
Not stuffing.
You don't want it inside the turkey.
Right.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on
okay,
that.
Thank
yeah.
you. So my favorite side dish would be dressing. Right. Dressing and yams.
Ooh, yams.
Yeah,
good
yams.
Choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what's your least favorite?
Least favorite? I don't really have a least favorite. Maybe if somebody brings like, what do you call that? Like, I don't know, like some pea almondine or something. Ew. Or string beans. You know, like
you
some
like
sort
green
of
beans?
Some sort of string bean dish. I like string beans, but
yes.
like a string bean dish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A casserole.
Yeah.
Why are you putting green beans with cream of mushroom soup and like putting little onion strings? Like, just give me some green beans.
Thank you. Right.
Yes.
That's I agree with you.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually
not as strongly as you, but I agree with you.
Yeah. That would be my least favorite. Okay, Matt. What's your favorite, least favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Favorite. My mom makes a mean. Whipped mashed potatoes.
Ooh, see?
Yeah.
She's coming to town tonight. We're going to get cooking. We got that and spinach artichoke dip we're going to take. It's going to be
mashy
nice.
Popos. Always
honestly,
good.
I don't have a least favorite. My least favorite moment is when my plate is empty.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
fair.
Honestly, it.
All right.
I'm going to keep eating everything.
Yeah.
I could do without the vegetables if I had to pick something. Just any vegetable. Just get it off. More meat, please.
Wow. No vegetables on the plate.
Oh,
cranberry sauce in a
always.
Can. Or out of or like fresh, you know, berry stuff.
Can's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the can. I like seeing the ridges.
Yeah, the little bumps.
Yeah,
I'm with
I
you.
Like the ridges.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt?
I honestly don't know that I've ever used cranberry sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Try it. Yeah, it's good.
I'm up for it.
That used to be my job. Cut it when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I got
exactly.
to cut the cranberry
sauce. That was fun.
It was the coolest thing ever.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. I do like dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, well, I call it seven because I like to make it with like French bread. So you got to cut up the French bread into like 1-inch cubes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then you put it in a dish and then you put some spicy sausage with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I put apples or pears or whatever in it too. Like
yeah.
that's my kind of thing.
Okay.
I love that.
Here's the most important question. TV on or TV off?
TV has got to be on. I got to watch football.
Thank you very much.
Got to watch football.
Yeah.
But I do want to sit at a table or something. I don't want to eat at the TV. TV's got to be on.
It can be on, but we're at a table.
Yeah, we got to sit at a table
Thank
or something
you.
If it's Thanksgiving. And we got to use real. We got to use real utensils.
Yeah.
My least favorite Thanksgiving ever probably is when, I don't even remember whose house I was at, but it was somebody in our families and we were sitting around the TV and we were eating off like paper plates with plastic utensils and I'm like, man, this is not really Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Right.
And like, I don't want to disparage my family because that's
no,
not
no,
right.
it's all
but,
it's family.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
I'm with
come
you.
Come on, man.
You can't
we
be
got
doing
we
that.
Got it. We got to sit at a table.
I remember my first Thanksgiving at my house. This is like when I'm a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's coming over. Big table, big nine. So I'm like, okay, no TV. We're gonna have it's gonna be one of those moments. We're all gonna talk like a family,
yeah.
right? We're gonna have Thanksgiving. We're gonna talk and. We ate and no one said a word. It's just everyone was eating. So I said, go turn the TV on.
Yeah.
Turn the game on. Everybody gets happy. Yay, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother says, man, we were like, we're never coming to your house again. I'm like, I did it for you. I did it for you. We were never coming here again. This is boring.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's just the thing about Thanksgiving, though. Yeah. I think it's the best holiday. I do.
Okay. Top two.
With Christmas?
Christmas, absolutely. I love Christmas.
You guys don't enjoy blowing stuff up?
Fourth of July is great.
Oh.
But as far as family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fourth of July is all right.
Yeah.
I never did the fireworks thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, like,
you gotta blow stuff up.
Dude, coming from the middle of nowhere, we just, like, I remember one of my favorite 4th of July memories, off topic.
Yeah.
It's on topic. We're talking about holidays.
We just used to, like, find old electronic appliances and shove Roman candles in them and just light them off and just watch it.
What is a Roman candle? I don't know.
What's a Roman candle? Like, you, like, hold it and it shoots out from
your
hand.
It's like a stick. You light it.
And
it, like, propels.
Tell me you didn't have Roman candle fights.
Yes. Don't tell my mom.
Exactly. We're basically shooting fire at each other.
We would stick those in the like VCRs or old stereos or whatever. And one time, my buddy stuck it in upside down, and it started shooting back at us.
Ooh, wow.
And so he tried to like kick it, and then it's like flung around and started shooting like into the neighbor's garage.
No.
And it was just all bad. We didn't know what to do. But
wow.
Did anything catch on fire?
No, we got very, very lucky. Yeah. And nobody had any injuries. Nobody got hurt. It was good.
All right.
The first time
I lit off an M80, it shut the lights off, the street lights. Outside. I mean, it was
M80.
Yeah, it's like it's a bigger version of a firecracker. How would you explain an M80?
It's like less powerful dynamite.
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, the kaboom was so loud.
Oh
I'm
my
like,
gosh.
Wow! It shut the street lights down.
I feel like I'm learning so much. This is just like outside the realm.
We used to like. Did you ever make like the little? You put little pieces of foil and like the works dish cleaner or whatever in like a Gatorade bottle and you like sew it or you seal it up and you just leave it there and like the I don't know the chemicals like
it
mix
explodes?
Together and yeah it's huge.
I never did that. Oh yeah. Wow. Okay. That
chemistry.
Will never make air.
Just look it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten all of our Thanksgiving and holiday and everything stuff like that out of the way, I'll ask
Happy
you one more thing.
Oh no.
What is it? No, it's not. No, it's the football question.
Oh yes.
What's the single most
I don't own anybody,
thing?
Miles. I'm sorry. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry. I don't even do fantasy. I'm not on Twitter. Anyway, go ahead.
You are on Twitter.
You know what I mean.
You just don't tweet.
Anyway, go ahead.
What's the single most important thing the Rams have to do to beat the Saints?
Oh, single most important thing.
Yeah. Haven't noticed, like, that's the way I've been ending the show lately.
Yeah. I need to think about it more. Before, lock Drew Brees in his hotel room. That would help.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not possible. You know, take care of the ball. That's always, we're going to say that every single week.
It is.
And,
but
when the Rams
lose the turnover margin, they're 0-3. If they tire or ahead, they're 7-0.
To carry over what we've talked about for the entire show, you've got to find some playmakers. Because, look, at this point in the season with the teams you're playing, it's going to be hard to fool people.
Yeah.
So at some point, you're going to have to make contested catches, throws, runs, what have you, and you're going to have to be better than they are on that play. So, playmakers.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, everybody. Appreciate you listening and watching and wherever you may be. Rams are back at home this week, so we do hope to see you at the Coliseum if you are in Los Angeles. Kickoff is at 1:25 Pacific. The game will be shown on CMS, one of these cross-flex games, so apparently it's going to be seen by about 80% of the country. So even if you are not in the Los Angeles market, probably will be able to see this game. So that's kind of cool.
Game's going to be shown on CMS?
I said CBS, didn't I?
You said CMS.
Sure CMS.
I it was new on me when you
oh,
said
CMS. Yeah.
I'm like,
I thought
something
I
didn't know.
I thought I was doing so well with the clothes.
Anyway, he meant
the game
CBS.
Is on CBS.
CBS.
All right. Yeah. Well, and I'm thankful for all of you guys watching, listening, and keeping Between the Horns the way it has been. And it's been a good season so far. We hope that it will continue to be great. So
all you CMS people too.
Yeah, great. So for my producer Matt, for DeMarco Farr, I'm Miles Simmons. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.